The fix is in. The Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix, on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today. Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners on the dial, terrestrial or internet, and our audience is one of the greatest and most receptive audiences in all of radio. The Sports Fix universe is not only listeners of the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Our social media universe expands by the day, all in the prime demographics to help drive your business directly into the winner's circle. Don't take my word for it. The Sports Fix comes with reference upon reference that have done business with us in the past and had some fun along the way. For more information on how we can help you knock your business, event, team, product, or promotion out of the park, email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park. Advertise your product right here on The Sports Fix.
Hey Cleveland, this is Anderson Varejão of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You are listening to the Sports Fix.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. The Sports Fix will be live at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted for each and every Cleveland Browns game. So come on out and join in the fun. Go Browns!
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Welcome in, my friends, on this, Twilight Zone Thursday, because since we last talked yesterday, everything's changed, switched around. What has happened? Welcome into the Sports Fix, J-Rock with you, and man, what a 24-hour period it has been for Cleveland Browns fans. I mean, I'll tell you what, straight up, yesterday evening, I'm starting to put things together for the show, figuring out, you know, what we're going to get into today, lining the guests up, putting the whole format together, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to dive into this Brian Hoyer thing a little bit, because I was like, you know what, at this point, I can get on board with that. Let's see what happens. Let's see what we're going to do. Ooh, okay, Greg Little's hitting the bench. I can talk about that. We're going to have a little fun talking some Browns tomorrow, and then bam, the other shoe drops, and I mean, listen, if anybody out there wants to tell me that they saw what happened yesterday, happening yesterday, coming, I mean, if you saw, you can tell me you saw it in the future. Tell me you saw what happened yesterday coming in week two of the NFL season, and you're lying. You're a straight, bold-faced liar, because I think there's some people that knew, but nobody that'll tell you that they knew. But there's definitely a few people that knew that was coming, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'll tell you what, we have, 500-600 comments I'm looking at here in front of me, sorting through, trying to organize so I can read some of these on the air. Absolute slice right through the veins of Cleveland Browns fans last night. Of course, what I'm talking about, the trade of Trent Richardson, running back of the Cleveland Browns, to the Indianapolis Colts for a first-round draft pick. And there's good and bad, and there's things to talk about. But then there's a whole different side of that that really you take off the football field with this front office and the way they just bushwhacked this fan base. And the way, you know, there's a lot of issues that I want to bring up here. Issues that have to do with ticket sales and jerseys and, you know, some I don't want to use the F word, the fraud word, but this reeks of some things like that going on, even if the future benefits reaped of this thing work out, which I think really could. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot that stinks about this. And when it stinks, it usually means the fish are bad in Lake Erie. And I'm telling you, there's some stinky stuff going on here. We're going to talk about this, you guys. Of course, we're going to open up the phone lines. In a matter of fact, 5 minutes from now, sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight's going to be joining me, and he's going to chime in. Him and I are going to start talking about this whole thing right here. We'll break down the Trent Richardson thing, talking Indians as well, because, baby, I'll tell you what, the Browns couldn't have picked a better time from the Indians' perspective to screw around with their fan base, because meanwhile, while the Browns are monkeying around here, the Cleveland Indians are coming home for the final homestand of the season, baby. It starts tonight. Houston, six games at Progressive Field, and it's time to paint this town red, white, and blue. But for them and their attendance problems and the things that we brought up over and over ad nauseum, this plays right into those hands as well. And I say, hey, I am all about the Browns, and we're going to talk about that. But if you're frustrated with those Browns, you know what? Take that frustration out at Progressive Field. Go down and give the Indians $10 of your money and go down there and cheer them on. You know what I'm saying? Do yourself a solid and go cheer for the simple fact that you're going to have to buck up for the next 14 weeks of this Cleveland Browns season. Go down there and enjoy the last run here of this season for the Indians, and maybe, just maybe, you know, enjoy the benefits of sitting through some Cleveland sports. And I'm telling you, I'm not writing this whole thing off with Trent Richardson completely, because I think there's positives down the road, but the way this whole thing was so clumsily executed all the way across the board, plus, as I said, coming in week two, that reeks of issues of fraud. I hate to use that word when it comes to jerseys and when it comes to tickets sold. I mean, I've got the Browns season calendar right here in front of me, the little pocket one. Trent Richardson's right on the back of it. And I understand that things happen and things change. We'll talk about that. We're talking Indians. Jonathan Knight's joining us here in just a few minutes. We've got BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners, joining us with our fantasy segment today. He's with us every Thursday at 12:35. He tweeted us first thing yesterday after the Browns announced the trade of Trent Richardson, and he said, terrible decision. Terrible, one of the worst decisions he's seen the Browns make since they've returned here. And I'm looking forward to talking to him. And we have gotten comments and tweets from people all over the place, the majority of which bashing the Browns for this decision. And I mean, and from a strictly talent perspective, you've got to understand that. I mean, listen, my thoughts are, if you're gonna do this move, if you make this move 6 weeks ago, if you make this move during training camp, when people are still buying season tickets, when people are still evaluating whether they're going to separate themselves with $700, because I've heard from a dozen or so different season ticket holders already this morning complaining about that very thing, because that was one of the most marketable things to them about this year's offense. There was him and what was perpetuated to have going to happen under Norv Turner, which is why the arguments all of a sudden by some of these other shows, and I'm going to get on that too, because I'll tell you what, you guys, if you remember when the big triple cast was announced by the Browns with the FM station and the AM station, and both of them being the co-branded home of the Cleveland Browns, I told you guys that what they basically and effectively did was bought themselves a marketplace there. And look at what's happened, because I've heard from dozens of people this morning that said that the other people that they're listening to are literally just selling the company line for the Cleveland Browns. And that's not right either, because you've got to look at it from all perspectives. Whether down the road, as I said, this thing works out or not, right now, I mean, it is a slap in the face to the fan base, to those fans who bought those tickets just weeks ago, thinking, okay, I'm at least going to get to see Trent Richardson, and I'm going to see this defense, and whatever things you identified with to pull that rug out from under them, just like people who spent $60 on Trent Richardson jerseys just a few weeks back, and now are sitting here with another one added to the collection. There's more Cleveland non-player jerseys worn at the stadium than jerseys of the players who play at the games. I'm going to go to the phone lines. We'll pick that back up in a minute. Caller, you're the first caller live on the Sports Fix.
Hey, G-Rock, this is John Matei down in Florida. How you doing?
Hey, good, John. How you doing, my man?
Doing really good. Hey, enjoy the show. Just want to say something real quick about this Browns garbage. The only thing you can take away from this is that front office is unbelievable. You can't believe a word coming out of their mouth down there in Berea. I'll tell you what, I call them the Three Stooges. Larry Lombardi, Mo Banner, and Curly Chud. Larry Lombardi, where was he? Where was he? He's a player personnel guy, and he wasn't even there. T. Rich had to find out on the phone or the radio or something. It's pathetic. Mo Banner, I mean, this guy's pathetic. He empathizes with the fans. He understands while he's laughing when the question's raised about people buying jerseys.
Right.
This guy's a jerk. I mean, and then you got Curly Chud. I mean, this is reeking of a puppet regime if I've ever smelled one. I mean, Hoyer was Lombardi's guy years ago. Joe Banner's pulling trades off, and there's Chud looking like a moron next to Banner going, oh, yeah, they're professionals. They're going to come back and play hard. Are you kidding me, dude? I mean, it's like losing your best player to injury. Now you lose him to trade. These guys are going to fall flat. Take Minnesota in the line. Give whatever points are given. The Browns are going to get killed. And I'll tell you what, I got tickets to the Bengals game, and I'm going to be in a paper bag. See you in 537, Browns fans.
Oh, man. John, thank you so much for the call, my man. I appreciate it. He's got some points. I'll tell you what, a lot of the fan base hated about this. Listen, Joe Banner, he hit right on what I was going to say last night, was the snickering there when the question was asked about the jerseys and about that. My thing is doing it now is just a spit in the face. Like I said, at least capitulate in the off season, make it clear that you're wiping the decks. Part of this too, and I'm not going to hang a whole lot on cutting guys like Brandon Jackson and those guys, but if you notice, the roster that they shaped during the majority of training camp, all of a sudden, it kind of changed a little bit near the end, right near the end. And part of that plays into this, too. You wonder if, as it went along, they weren't just kicking themselves for not just making this move from the get-go. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, there's a lot of issues in play. And if you're a Browns fan, how in the world can you not blame them for getting upset about this? Because here's one of the things, just like you talk, because I'll say this right now about not being able to believe these guys. And I'm the guy who, from the day they came in, said, hey, now I'm going to give these guys a clean slate. I'm going to let them write their own story. And now we are beginning to see that. So now, to me, as you begin to criticize these guys, it becomes deserved for these guys because they're doing it to themselves. I'm not criticizing them based on what happened in the previous regime. I have separated all of that from this, and now they have begun to double talk themselves. And when you lie, when you point blank lie, that's where you've got an issue, because now the word being perpetrated on other sports talk shows and by the Browns puppet media is that Trent Richardson didn't fit this offense that they spent the entire offseason telling you was going to accentuate everything about Trent Richardson. I'm telling you, there's double talk going all around, even if I do think that the end result of this could be good for the Browns because they have put themselves in a position with the draft. But that doesn't do anything to do with whipping it out and taking a leak on the Cleveland Browns fans like they did last night. Going to the phone lines, my man, sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight, ready to chime in. JK, how are you doing on this crazy Thursday here for Browns fans, man?
Oh, what? Did the Browns do something yesterday?
I think so. I heard
what?
Something.
Were they in the news? I don't know. Oh, the disemboweling of the franchise. Yes, I did see that. Yeah.
First off, I texted you this morning. How does it work out that every time some catastrophic thing that goes on with the Browns or the Indians happens, you just happen to be scheduled on the show, and it just works out that way?
I'm like the first responder to a car crash. I mean, it always works out that way. And that is what this is. This is a dumpster fire. This is complete anarchy.
In week two.
Well, if you remember, we joked. We were joking last week on the show as I came on. We were joking that week one's over. It's time for Browns fans to give up on the season and talk about the draft. give the Browns credit. They waited until week two to give up on the season and start focusing on the draft. So they were much more patient than the fans were. They waited seven more days and then pulled the plug.
Joe Banner right now is doing his best Rachel Phelps impression. I'm telling you, he's sitting backstage and he's going cross them off.
Somebody, several people have made that analogy today because that's what it. The other analogy that came up was Ted Stepien. This is Ted Stepien.
Yeah.
This is the type of thing he did with the Cavs in the 80s. You think, whatever happened to him? Well, here he is. This is what he did to give people an idea of how the Cavaliers were run in the early 80s. This is what it was. It was first of all, having a bad team to begin with, and then taking whatever minimal marginal talent you did have and trading it away for table scraps. So I know a first-round draft pick isn't, you know, that's nice. It's always great to have first-round draft picks. But like you said, it is. I think it's less about what they did than, first of all, how they did it, and more importantly, when they did it. I have no concept of why they did this now. As you said, and many people have pointed out, they had an entire offseason in which they did nothing, not only with Richardson, not only with Whedon, we've seen this across the board. We joked about it a couple weeks ago with replacing Phil Dawson. They waited until about 48 hours before their first game and said, oh, we need a kicker. Let's go take care of that. Like, that's what training camp was for. That's what the offseason was for, to deal with these issues. Because you can't tell me that they made a decision about Trent Richardson after two games. They had their minds made up about him, and you're right. Everything they said about him going into the season now is garbage, because we understand that, no, you didn't think that he was going to fit into this offense. You didn't make this decision based on two mediocre performances in the first two games. Their mind was made up months ago, likely before the college draft, and they did nothing until now, when the Colts found themselves in a pickle. They needed a running back, and the Browns jumped on board and got a draft pick out of it. So I just, that more than anything else is, over the why and even the how is when. Why did they do this now?
I'll tell you what, JK, right there, the perfect thing, and I'll just throw this out there. We'll get the break out of the way and come back with it, because I was kind of thinking something similar myself as far as, you know, the talk of, you know, why hasn't Trent Richardson been on the field as much as he was, and why has he been off on third downs and not been, you know, as much a part of the game as he should be? And you heard talk of keeping him fresh. Perhaps Joe Banner has been searching for this trade for the last few weeks, and he was simply knew that once the season started, somebody's going to lose a running back, and then he would be able to jump and find that trade that he's looking for. And perhaps the coaching staff was under orders not to get him in a, you know, as much as they could avoid him getting unnecessarily used up or injured before they could dump him off on another team. Because for the timing of it is just so, it's like sacking Bernie Kosar, although not the same, but doing it in the middle of the season the way they did it. These guys would have put Bernie Kosar out just like Bill Belichick, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. And again, going back to the overarching theme, it isn't so much that you traded Trent Richardson. It isn't so much that you released Bernie Kosar. It's the stupid-ass way that you did it. Bernie Kosar was released when the guy who you deemed was your starting quarterback was out for 6 weeks. So you were doomed to your third-string quarterback. You decided that your third-string quarterback was better than Bernie and proceeded to go out and lose five straight games, take yourself out of a race. And they did the same thing now. And I argue, too, that while I think you're probably right that they did limit Richardson in these first two games, and that's maybe why we didn't see him so much, because as we saw yesterday morning in a move that is now almost forgotten, that the front office is making the calls as far as who plays and who doesn't play with the whole Brian Hoyer fiasco. So we know that Chud is not the final voice in these decisions, but we'll get to that. But I would argue that had they traded Trent Richardson in the offseason, they could have gotten more. I understand the Colts were desperate, but I think that what you were building and what was certainly the spin they used on the Browns fans all through the offseason was that Richardson had a decent year last year while playing hurt. Imagine how good he'll be when he's not hurt, when he has a whole full season, when his ribs are healed. He'll be great. I would argue that his trade value would have been higher in the offseason before he comes in and plays two mediocre games when he's healthy and shows everybody in the NFL that there's really no difference. He was no more productive with healthy ribs than he was without. So I think you would have gotten more had you traded him around the draft. At least maybe you would have probably gotten the first round pick and maybe another player, maybe another pick. So I think they ended up shooting themselves in their foot. They're congratulating themselves over how cunning they are, and they think they took advantage of the Colts in a bad situation. I'd argue the opposite.
I'm telling you, as I hear you, I think you're having a hard time containing yourself because of that awesome background music that's going on there. Let's get this break out of the way. When we come back, let's keep the conversation going. Jonathan Knight joining us, J-Rock here. We're talking Trent Richardson. You brought up the other man I want to talk about. Let's talk about Brian Hoyer leapfrogging Campbell and, hey, Indians starting that final homestand of the season. All of that and more. Don't go away. Coming back live here on the Sports Fix with sports writer Jonathan Knight. Don't go anywhere.
The Sports Fix, the show that asks the question.
What you talking about, Lou? What you talking about, Lou? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, Lou? What you talking about?
We'll be right back.
Guys, want to take just a second as we head into this break and remind you about the official business printing source of the Sports Fix, our friends at Signs and Ship. Signs and Ship, I'm telling you, Chris and Pam, they've taken care of me since day one, and they can do the same for you. Whether you're a small business that's already been established and you're looking to grow to that next level and expand your business, or perhaps you've got an idea that you just know is going to be a great business and you need to figure out how to brand it and how to promote it and put it out there, Signs and Ship is the place for you. If you need a logo, they can create one for you. They have a fantastic graphic designer. Business cards, signs, banners, yard signs, mobile advertising, anything you can think of that you need to promote your business, they've got it at Signs and Ship. The best thing about them too is each of their locations, whether it's the home base here in Elyria, Ohio that I work with, or their spots in Virginia, Florida, and Pennsylvania, it's all local sourced. Very important to me because we all understand that small business is the lifeblood of the community. So check them out, signsandship.com, or call Chris and Pam today, 440-323-6060, the home office in Elyria, Ohio. Signs and Ship, quality printing at affordable prices.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back. Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo, join the herd. Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Whether it's their Cleveland That I Love design, or perhaps it's the Superman Birthplace of a Hero line of team-themed designs, whether you're a fan of the Indians or Browns, the Lake Erie Monsters, or the CSU Vikings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just Cleveland in general, GV Art and Design has a logo, design, or style for you. Sports Fix listeners, as a special treat, every time you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, use the sales code FIX and save 10% on your total purchase. Log on right now to GVArtwork.com, check out all of their fantastic designs,
and don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow GVArtwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
You're listening to the Sports Fix.
When the night has come,
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the sportsfix.net every weekday at noon or around the world throughout the day, 24-7 on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, all the different places. We thank each and every one of you for joining us as I get ready to come back, J-Rock, with you. And I forgot, I was in such a rush. People were jamming us right off the bat here to talk about T-Rich at the beginning of the show. You can continue in on the conversation. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. We'll read those comments on the air. I have nearly 600 of them in front of me right now. Or tweet with me at TheSportsFixCLE, and I'll read those live on the air, too. The phone number is 216-539-7535, but right now the phone lines are taken up by my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight. As we come back, JK, welcome back to the show. As we were saying before the break, I mean, really, you should see, too, the feedback that I'm getting here behind the scenes. This is the most hostile I have seen the fan base in quite some time, and that's saying something with what we've been through for a while. I mean, this really seems like the last straw to a lot of fans.
That's exactly how I put it to somebody this morning when I was talking. I mean, this feels like the seeds of a revolution now have taken root, and this is different. I mean, this just feels not necessarily that this is the dumbest thing they have done. I think it might be, but it's up there. But even without that, I think it's just one vastly dumb thing too many. I think this is just I think you're right. I think this very well could be the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, just to give up on a season. And that's basically what they did. And they're not even saying, and we've heard it for years and years, wait till next year, wait till next year. That's sort of become the battle cry. It's not wait till next year anymore. It's wait till 4 years from now. And people are not going to tolerate that anymore. We have been with this. We've put up with this for too long through too many regimes. And that's the thing. This regime, they're new at this. They don't understand that. They haven't been here through the last several disasters. They don't get it. They're just, oh, well, we'll just sacrifice a year. We're brilliant. We're geniuses. Don't worry. It's in good hands. We'll fix it. And we're looking at that thing. We have heard this four times before.
But you can't be so surgical about it. You can't be the way they are. And I'll tell you what, you brought up a good point. I was talking to somebody this morning, too, and I equated it in a similar way. It's like, okay, even when you're in an abusive type relationship or something that walks those lines, you know, the person sticks by your side. A lot of times they call it Stockholm syndrome or whatever, where it actually strengthens the bond between you. But one thing that historically is a fact is when that bond does get broken, the feedback from the other side, the anger, is actually 10 times more than it would be in a normal relationship, because that love truly does turn to hate, and it burns so aggressively. And like you said, that's kind of maybe where this is starting to fall. It's just the fact that, look, a year from now in the draft, when they use this draft pick and hopefully they draft Teddy Bridgewater or Boyd or somebody, and they correct the problem, because that's the thing. Everybody can keep writing it up as correcting somebody else's problems, but still, to me, my thing with that is you still spent the entire offseason telling me how much Trent Richardson's going to work in this offense. You didn't do that about Brandon Whedon. You said you're going to give Brandon Whedon opportunity, but you said you were going to use Trent Richardson and he was going to be vital in this offense. So your plans obviously changed there at the minute, but, you know, continues. Like you said, you brought up Brian Hoyer with the quarterback thing too. Me, I look at that. I'm not going to lie. And I know there's some people that are going to hang me for this, and you probably disagree too. I can tell by the tone when you say Hoyer, but I thought, you know what? We do know what we have in Jason Campbell. And I was very interested to see if that kid, listen, what we need is a guy who can not scramble, but who can avoid the rush, get rid of the ball really quickly, and not turn the ball over. And I think regardless of whether it was preseason or not, Hoyer seems to be able to do that. So maybe with a running attack and running Richardson, and maybe Hoyer could work there and spark something. But now you're throwing the kid to the wolves, man, because you got no running game. I mean, I'll tell you, though, I don't know about Bobby Rainey this week, but I think Willis McGahee still has a few games left in him. I actually think that'll be a decent, you know, 14-game stopgap, perhaps, for the Browns.
Maybe you're right. I think anytime you're signing a running back off the waiver wire to be in your starting lineup 2 days later, that does not go well. I know. Not to say that he's going to be a disaster, but if he had anything left in the tank, somebody would have picked him up. He would have made somebody's roster out of training camp. This is Ben Gay. I mean, that's all this is. This is a stopgap. This is a Band-Aid.
Ben Gay had a 188-yard game, my man. He did have 188.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying McGahee may have one or two games in him because that's what Ben Gay had in him. But again, to consider the mindset at the time. We thought Ben Gay, we found a running back. No, you have not. You've stuck your thumb in the dike to stop the water from leaking out for 1 week, and that's what this would be.
I mean, seriously, Jonathan Knight talking to us here on the Sports Fix, and, again, I mean, they keep sending comments here. I mean, and a lot of them I can't read on the air here. I mean, it's that hostile.
Yeah.
It is that hostile. Yeah. You know, Kevin Flannery here just a few minutes ago said, all my life I've loved the Browns, but I'm done. That's the team I love, and then I can't read the rest of it. Good luck, number 33. But, I mean, there's one after another. You know, Rosemary Bayes says, Browns fans should boycott this pathetic organization. Don't go to the games. That's the only way our voices will be heard. Browns fans deserve better. I'll tell you what, though. People have honked that horn for quite some time, and no matter what, the fans still come because they love the team and the jerseys, not the people necessarily that own them.
And that, I think, first of all, as we were just talking about, that may be about to change. I think that this may be one step too many for the team. Because for all the dumb things they've done, since they've been back, the team has never, in the middle of the season, let alone in week three, stood up and said, yeah, we're just pulling the plug on this. We're going to manage the pain and try and fix this a year or two from now. That's never happened. They've done dumb things. They've done things that you can read between the lines and said, okay, that's what they're doing. They have never stood up, traded away the only player that is a fantasy football type of guy, regardless of what you think of him. He was the only guy. If you were playing fantasy football, odds are Trent Richardson was the only guy drafted in your league, right? But never before have the Browns just bailed on an entire season. So that leads to my question, and this is a question to you, this is a question to the listeners, this is a question for Cleveland. Why in the world would you watch this team? Why would you pay money to go down to the stadium, let alone watch them on television? What is there to gain from watching this team this season and arguably next season? I genuinely want an answer. If someone can call in, write in on Facebook, whatever, give me a reason why you would watch this team for any point of this season. I just can't see it. If there is one, I would love to hear it. I cannot see it. I cannot see a reason to turn on the television at 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
John just came in the chat room and said, because we already paid. So I guess there's one answer.
And that's what the first thing I thought of last night was, are they going to offer some sort of discount to season ticket holders who paid for this? This is fraud. I mean, this is just preposterous. You could make a case for a class action suit.
I was joking on Twitter.
You've blown up the season. I mean, say, okay, you owe me seven. You owe me the price of seven home games because you've given up.
JK, I was joking on Twitter this morning that, with Jimmy Haslam's history, perhaps he looked at the fans of Cleveland as unsophisticated, because honestly,
this is exactly what this is. We are the truck drivers to him. We are unsophisticated buffoons who don't understand the complexities. And we'll just buy anything with the Browns logo on it.
I've got the analogy. Jonathan Knight, I've got the analogy. And perhaps some people listening may or may not know the movie that I'm referring to. Do you remember the movie Moving with Richard Pryor?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay, well, he buys this house and they move to the suburbs. And when they're going through the house, the guy is joking with him about everything in the house. He's going, wow, I love this staircase, Richard Pryor. And the homeowner goes, yep, I'm taking it with me. Just kidding. And he's doing that. He's doing it throughout the house. And then when they move in, when Richard Pryor drives his family across the country and they move in, half of the things in the house are missing. He calls the guy, and the guy has a list. He goes, no. Now, on the steps, I said I was kidding, but I didn't say I was just kidding when I said I was taking the pool or the kitchen. And he ended up getting a house that was missing half the rooms in the house because the guy took it with him. And that's fraud, though. I'm joking, but you're right. If I sold you a car, Jonathan Knight, and said this car is – this is the car I'm selling you, and then when you pick it up, it doesn't have an engine. I just committed fraud because it had an engine when I sold it to you.
Yes, you did not tell us. You were not above board. And again, if you'd have traded, this is where the differentiation between trading Richardson now and trading him in the offseason. If you'd have done that and thrown up a white flag in February, March, then the people who were about to or considering buying season tickets could have said, ah, wait a minute, okay. And then they could have made a fully informed decision. The way they do it now, I say, oh, sorry, we've already got your credit card number. We ran it through. Sorry about that. I mean, just imagine any other business, any other industry where something like that happened. You said it. This is what lemon laws were created to combat.
Exactly. I'll tell you what. Cliff Colson on the chat room says, any love that Jimmy Haslam gained upon his purchase is gone. Banner was already hated by the fans and players in Philly, and obviously we're seeing why that carried over here. I mean, you look at the offseason, whether they fit on the field or not, you can say Cribbs, you can say Dawson, now you can say kicking them in the teeth in week two. I mean, definitely not doing anything to make anybody like you here in Cleveland either, you know?
No. And really, here's the thread that ties the two things that happened yesterday together. For anyone out there who either supports the Richardson trade or understands it or can sort of see it, and that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you that it may turn out to be beneficial or that it was good to get rid of Richardson now while the stock was high. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. But one of the tenets of having that point of view is that you have to believe that, okay, these guys are going to make this work. These guys are going to take this draft pick next year, next April, in the college draft, and through free agency leading up to that, they are going to do some dramatic things, and we trust what they are going to do. We've trusted other regimes, other GMs, other CEOs, but we have to trust these guys, that these guys are better than all of those guys. That is the primary tenet of buying into this Richardson trade. The problem with that is we only have to go 8 hours back in time to understand that they cannot be trusted, that they've already blown it. We cannot trust them to do the right thing because of the way that this quarterback thing played out. They, again, as you said before, they were a little more wobbly on Whedon going into this season. They did not hand him the job. They knew coming into the season, they knew through the offseason that, okay, Whedon probably is not the answer. We'll give him another shot, but we're not sold on him. All they did in the offseason, the only thing they did was go get Jason Campbell to compete against Whedon for the starting job. And that when training camp began, for the first half of training camp, it was a competition. They claimed it was, and it, for all appearances, it truly was. They were going to see which one was better. Clearly, and then so Whedon wins the job, and when the first opportunity for Campbell to step in, this guy that they handpicked to compete with the ordained starting quarterback when they arrived, the first opportunity for Campbell to see action, they say, no, well, we're not sold about him either. We're going to get this other con we just picked up that was an undrafted free agent. And he's from Cleveland, so it's a great human interest story. Yeah, let's start him. These guys blew it. They completely blew it. Again, if they really, really believed that Whedon was not their guy, they should have done something. They would have gone out and gotten somebody better than Jason Campbell. Either that or they just totally miscalculated on Jason Campbell. Either way, clearly, these are not guys who are going to have any kind of touch when it comes to personnel. So, you know, I just can't see how you would believe that these guys are going to be able to turn this into a pot of gold, because as we've seen from everything they've done, just yesterday, just in one day, we saw what these guys are and are not capable of.
And I'll tell you know what? Off the air, I was talking to somebody after the first week of the season, and I said, man, I wonder if Brandon Whedon is just so not going to get it as a quarterback that after one game, Norv turned around and looked at Joe Banner and said, nope, not even doing it, man. This is not happening. This dude is not going to win anything, because look at how quick Chud turned around, too, yesterday. I mean, very rarely do you have the cases where normally guys keep their job after an injury. As soon as they got him off the field, the first thing Chud said was, no guarantee I'm putting him back out there, which I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that because he hasn't earned the job, not last year, not this year at all. But just how quickly, boom, out of the way. And I'll tell you what, LG, and I know my buddy LG is crazy from Cleveland Sports 360, but he wrote an article about this, and he even told me, he said, J-Rock, go find the film. Go find the play where Brandon Whedon gets hurt, because it doesn't exist. I've looked all over. There's no replay. There's no.
So he's killing Oliver Stone
there's
here.
No play. There's no play. Maybe, just maybe, the front office spiffed him, maybe seven figures, and said, listen, listen, we'll save you losing your job. This way we can trade you because you're still a starting quarterback. Let's just do this phantom injury and move you off to the side. I'm telling you, it's totally wow. Oliver Stone, but I was laughing because I said, you know what? I haven't seen the film of where he got hurt.
Yeah, it's interesting, if nothing else. And I, you know, with what's been happening or what has
Joe
happened,
Banner's
I would
crazy,
not
man.
Put it past. As unbelievable as that sounds, I think we've seen crazier. And I think we're going to see crazier, because I don't think this ends here. I think there's more to come.
There's more to come.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I mean, we are well-versed in fire sales from the Indians, right? I mean, that's what this is. We have never seen the Browns go all out, balls to the wall, fire sale, but that's what this, by all indications, is going to be. I think you've got to look at somebody like Joe Thomas. He may not be here for much longer. Any other viable piece, and God knows there aren't many, but if there's any other viable piece of the roster, any kind of player they can get anything out of so they can go and start from scratch and load up on more draft picks for this, you know, biblical draft that they're gearing up for next spring, they're going to do it. I mean, you mentioned a couple weeks ago that you couldn't start from scratch, that the Browns were putting some players out there that they knew were not the long-term answer, but you can't all go to, what was the term you used? You can't start from scratch, you can't blow it all up, and that's just sketch theory in the NFL, or you go 0-16. In 2 weeks, that they changed their mind. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going etch-a-sketch football here.
I'll tell you know what, too? If you look at the moves they made right at the end of the roster, those roster changes at the last minute, they stocked up, well, they tried anyway, to sign a couple of running backs, and they did some extra linebackers, and that makes me think, you brought up Joe Thomas, I think DeQuell Jackson could not be long for this team as well.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Anyone who they don't anticipate being in the prime of their career 4 or 5 years from now is up for grabs. And certainly Joe Thomas is would fall into that. I think Jackson would fall into that. I think there's a couple other guys that you say, okay, they may be in their prime right now, but by the time that they expect this team to be competitive, which I think is different from reality as far as when this team is going to be competitive, but according to their plan, it's a good 4 years away. And if a player is not going to be in his prime and contribute as part of the core of this team 4 years from now, trade him now, get something for it, get a draft pick that will be in his prime 4 years from now.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, we could talk about this on and on. We've got so much more to go. All right, JK, you know what? I'm going to shift gears. I'll come back to this. When we open up the phone lines after the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to open up the phone lines. We'll pick this back up, and we'll talk some tribe. I want to talk some tribe with you. I want to end this on a good note. To me, what a better note than shifting gears and talking about the Indians. They're back home. 5-2 road trip. I don't care which two they lost. They went 5-2 on the road trip. Now you come home. You've got the Astros. You've got the White Sox. A good chance to run through this homestand. How many people you think are coming out tonight? Can we get this place jamming like it needs to be for a playoff atmosphere?
I think that's a great segue between the two conversations, actually, because we talked about this potentially being a revolution of sorts, sort of a Les Miserables of Cleveland Browns football, at least among the fans. This could be, you really could see literally a passing of the torch from the Browns to the Indians. If enough people are fed up with the Browns and just tired of all this garbage, here are the Indians on the cusp of making the playoffs for the first time in 6 years, for the second time in 12 years. This could be, if the Indians make the playoffs right now under this umbrella of nonsense down the street, everyone may just switch gears, because I think you're right. I think we're going to see better crowds this weekend. If the Indians do indeed make the playoffs, God forbid they host this wild card game. God forbid they win that game and we're hosting a couple of games in a division series in Cleveland. I think this could be special. This is the opportunity the Indians have been waiting years for. The table is set for them to step up and take Cleveland back from the Browns. I mean, the Indians have got to be just rubbing their hands together and licking their chops. This is it. This is the chance they've been waiting for. And as you said, they're playing, every team they play in these last 10 is under 500. Every one of them, you've got the White Sox and Astros. The Astros have already lost 100 games.
They've lost five straight. The White Sox are on the brink of losing 100 games. The table is set. We could see a sea change in Cleveland sports in the next 10 days.
And even if it's not as dramatic as that, it's going to be somewhat of a balancing. I made that same point right before you called in at the beginning of the show. I said this is a real opportunity here for the Brown or for the Indians to take advantage of the Browns and the way they've angered the fan base. I mean, it just couldn't work out timing-wise any better for them to be competing and running into the playoffs just as the Browns really said, hey, you know what? Forget you guys. Check with us again in another year or two. You know, meanwhile, the Indians took a lot of guff and rightfully so. But right now, they're there. And hopefully, you know, I agree. Hopefully, maybe that does swing this balance back a little bit in the Indians' favor. If I was them, I would be marketing this and capitalizing as much as I could on these next 6 days. And they are.
And the timing has not been this good since the Browns moved. I mean, if you look back at that, as far as the Indians' fortune, the Indians make the World Series and become a powerhouse just as the Browns move, leading to that perfect storm that with the 455 consecutive sellouts and five or six straight playoff seasons. That this is similar to that. It's not quite that dramatic, but it feels the same way. The Browns are about to dissolve and go away, basically, for 3 years, just as they did in 1995. And the Indians are, by all appearances, on the rise, not to their 1995 level, but they've got something going here. And the table is set for them to do something they have not done and capture Cleveland the way they have not done since the mid-90s.
Absolutely. Sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight joining us, and we're talking little Browns, little Indians. Man, I hate to let you go. I've got BJ Riddell coming on here in a minute. I cannot wait to talk to you next week because we'll be coming right off of this homestand, and we'll be ready to hopefully run this thing right through into the playoffs. Hey, I applied for playoff credentials all the way through to the World Series just because they're making it happen, Daddy. They're making it happen.
Yeah, I've gotten the emails too. I love it. I love getting the emails. Yes. Just to see the words Indians and October in the same subject line are enough to get me excited.
Hell yeah. Jonathan Knight, my man. Next week, we'll talk about the tribe. We'll talk a little more about the Browns Bible because that might be all the Browns we got to talk about for a while. I don't know. We'll see what's up. A lot could happen. Hey. Anything is possible in the NFL. I think that's like a catchphrase or something. Jonathan Knight, my man, you have a great weekend. Go Tribe, and talk to you next week, my man.
You bet, buddy. Don't get traded between now and then, okay?
I'll work on it. I don't know. They told me I was safe, so now I'm not sure. All right, man.
That's right.
I'll talk to you. Sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight. Good to have him with us each and every week. We're going to the break. Speaking of each and every week, we do fantasy football for winners with my man BJ Riddell, and we're on the perfect topic when we're talking about Trent Richardson because he is definitely going to affect some fantasy football people here in their leagues as he switches now to the Indianapolis Colts. I told you about BJ's tweet. We'll get his take on Trent Richardson going to the Colts and how it affects fantasy football, your sits and starts for the week, and so much more. Fantasy football for winners with BJ Riddell coming up next live on the Sports Fix. Plus, your calls and so much more. Don't go anywhere.
The Sports Fix, your choice for intelligent talk.
I'm expecting a very important delivery at the house, so could you please call me if it arrives? I'll give you my cell number. 401-555-1125.
4-0.
No, I was just repeating the 4. 1-4.
1-4.
Intelligent talk.
Okay, 1-1-2-5.
1-1-2-5. 1-5-5.
I'm not giving you quantities of the numbers. I'm giving you the numbers. 1-1-2-5. Those are the last four numbers.
Oh, I see. 1-1-2-5.
Yes. All right. Now read the number back to me.
Let me get my pen.
The Sports Fix will be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. The Sports Fix will be live at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted for each and every Cleveland Browns game. So come on out and join in the fun. Go Browns!
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
I'm here again with Bill Opelich from Quick Lane at Valley Ford. Bill, what's new in the Quick Lane?
Battery rebate. Summer is just as hard on your battery as the winter. Quick Lane and Valley Ford will test your battery at no charge. And if you need a battery, we have a $25 mail-in rebate on the purchase of a tested tough Motorcraft battery starting at $79.95.
Wow, that's a great deal, Bill. Tell me more.
Our brake rebate is still on until June 30th. $25 per axle with the purchase and installation of Motorcraft brake pads, as well as offering a $50 rebate when you purchase $250 or more and charge your Ford genuine credit card. Some exclusions apply. As always, we have a low price guarantee on all our tires. If you find the same price within 30 days, we will refund the difference. Stop in, let us check your battery and top off your washer fluid.
Where do I have to go to get those great deals?
Come to Quick Lane at Valley Ford on Canal Road between Rockside and Granger in Valley View, just 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland. We're open at 7 every day. Open late Monday through Thursday till 9, Friday till 6, and Saturday till 2.
Go to quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
You're listening to The Sports Fix.
News break. Good morning, I'm Bob Cicozzi. After losing five straight times to the Steelers, the Bengals have now beaten Pittsburgh twice in a row. Giovanni Bernard had a touchdown run and a touchdown reception in a 20-10 victory in Monday Night Football. Andy Dalton completed 25 of 45 passes for 280 yards for Coach Marvin Lewis's Bengals.
I thought the quarterback moved well in the pocket, and you know, he avoided the rush a couple of times, stepped up and threw, and was making, you know, good decisions. I think he was real jacked up first part of the game, man. He was so excited. So.
News break.
I'm Christine Lisi. Andy Reid, who led the Eagles to 9 playoff appearances, 6 division titles, 5 NFC championship game appearances, and 1 trip to the Super Bowl in 14 seasons, makes his return to the City of Brotherly Love tonight. Reid and his Chiefs take on the Eagles in the first game of Week 3 of the NFL season.
We look forward to having the opportunity to play in the Philadelphia Eagles. We know they're a good football team. We know it's Thursday night. We understand that. Electric place to play, and I know they're looking forward to the opportunity of playing a good football team.
Chiefs coach Andy Reid. In addition, tonight, the Eagles will retire Donovan McNabb's number 5 at halftime. Golf, Tiger Woods, Henrik Stenson, Adam Scott, Dustin Johnson, Matt Kuchar all control their own destiny heading into the Tour Championship, which begins today in Atlanta. They only have to win the Tour Championship to claim the FedEx Cup and its $10 million bonus. Baseball, Red Sox center fielder Jacoby Ellsbury says he's planning to be back by the end of the regular season. He's missed the last 11 games with a broken bone in his foot. Boston's magic number to clinch the AL East is 3.
SportsCenter on ESPN Radio is brought to you by the full, juicy flavor of Johnsonville sausage. Visit Johnsonville.com for affordable recipes that are perfect for game time or any time. Johnsonville, sausage is all we do.
Hi, this is Joe Tate, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome back to The Sports Fix, streaming live here on thesportsfix.net. J-Rock with you, and man, oh, so many comments and questions and feedback coming back in on the chat room and on the Facebook and Twitter. You can Facebook us at facebook.com/thesportsfix. I'll read those comments on the air. Keep your tweets coming at thesportsfixcle, and we'll read those as well. Phone lines will be open here in a little bit. Get ready to go back to the phones right now. Thanks to Jonathan Knight for joining us now. We're going to talk a little football here, continue talking about the impact of Trent Richardson going from the Browns to the Colts from a different perspective, as it's time for our weekly segment each and every Thursday live right here somewhere in this general area. We talk to my man, my next guest, the author of Fantasy Football for Winners, BJ Riddell. He joins us with all your sits and starts. But before we even talk about that, BJ, let's talk about your thoughts on the opinion and take on the trade of Trent Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts. How you doing, my man?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I mean, as fantastic as I can be. I mean, it's got the show rocking and rolling, that's for sure. Anyway, you were one of the first people that tweeted me yesterday your thoughts on things here about Trent Richardson and how you thought that was a mistake by the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I just thought that the Browns, anytime you're a team and you've got a guy as young and talented as Richardson is, and you trade him for a first-round pick with the expectation that, hey, you know, now we can get a great pick next year, you know, you're in a constant state of rebuilding at a certain point. And at a certain point, you have to stop rebuilding and start building. And Richardson, to me, with Josh Gordon, were the foundations of this offense. Cleveland's got a terrific defense. They were, I think, 1 to 2 years away to be a very, very solid playoff contender, you know, and playoff-bound team, you know, maybe a 10-6 team by next year if they kept the pieces together. And now you're just saying, well, let's throw our hat in the ring and see if we can get that stud quarterback in Louisville next year. But look what they get. They get the Colts first round pick. The Colts are going to be a 9-7, 10-6 team this year, maybe even 11-5 with Richardson on. So you're talking about Cleveland getting in return a 20th, 25th pick in the first round. I don't like that. I don't like trading away the third overall pick, who clearly has not even shown what he can do on the field yet, for the 20th or 25th pick next year.
You feel Clevelanders' pain, my man, B.J. Riddell. Let me flip that then. Okay, so look at that now. Cleveland Browns fans aren't going to want to talk about this, but a lot of Clevelanders, you know, drafting Trent Richardson in their leagues, and Trent Richardson was expected to do a lot in fantasy football. How do you see the change of his landscape to Indianapolis affecting his fantasy football performance this year?
We'll never know what it was like for Richardson with a healthy Wheaton and Josh Gordon as the number one receiver. But he moves to a system in Indianapolis where, A, they want him, and they want him to be their main ball carrier. Richardson did not get enough carries in Cleveland, especially these first two games combined, and Indianapolis doesn't want that to happen to them. Number two, Andrew Luck, a top-10 quarterback. Number three, when you've got Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton, and even Cody Fleener, the young tight end, it's a very dynamic offense, slightly to moderately better than what Cleveland could produce week in and week out. And so I would suggest that Richardson is in line for, you know, essentially more touchdowns, and the field should be far more open for him. With Cleveland, you know, defenses could stack up front, you know, eight guys up front on third and short, you know, or even on first down, because they got a good sense that Richardson was the main guy, especially these first 2 weeks. But in Indianapolis, defense is going to have to stay honest, and that means that Richardson's going to have more running room.
And I'll tell you what, I think as well on the field, you can say what you want about what he was or wasn't going to be here in Cleveland. I think on the field, he's going to bring a lot. Oh, excuse me, I turn myself off and leave you on this time. Bring a lot to the Indianapolis Colts.
It hurts to talk about it, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I mean, I'm telling you, man, we're going to be talking about this one for a while. These are the reason why therapists make twice as much in Cleveland as they do in any other town, because the couch time is necessary. And I'm not even talking about Tim Couch. All right. So looking at that, you know, that talks about Trent Richardson. Now that pretty much takes the Cleveland Browns out of any relevant fantasy football conversation, with the exception perhaps of Jordan Cameron and Josh Manning on the quarterback situation. What's your outlook there? It's keeping it on the Browns as far as now Brian Hoyer and not Jason Campbell being the guy for now.
Yeah, I guess it's a case where you could look at it cynically and say that secretly Cleveland management wants that number one pick. They want to go 0-16, and they want to make sure they get a franchise quarterback next year, and Hoyer gives them a better shot at that. That's the cynical approach. The non-cynical approach would be that they know what they can get out of Jason Campbell, and they're not satisfied that he can win ball games for them in this system, and that Hoyer will give them a better chance to compete. I don't know enough about Hoyer other than he started one game in his entire career, and his claim to fame was being a backup to Patriots for a few years before getting bounced around to three other teams. So, you know, it's getting to be kind of a joke right now, unfortunately, in Cleveland,
when you've got a guy like Hoyer starting. I worry about what that will mean to Josh Gordon. I worry about what that means to a very promising start to a career in to the second season, Jordan Cameron. I think people who have Cameron or Gordon should consider trying to trade high. I'm sure that if this week they do not produce, if Cleveland gets shut out and they put up 3 points, it's going to be very hard to unload Cameron and Gordon. If you can get a comparable talent somewhere else, I think that's a smarter move. If you're sticking with them, it means you think that over the course of the season, the quarterback situation won't matter or Whedon might come back. But I hate to say it, if you don't have a good running back in the backfield and it's a passing game only, look at what happened in Pittsburgh last year and this year. The offensive game suffered, the receiver situation suffered, the quarterback situation suffered. If you don't have a guy getting 3, 4, 5 yards a carry, and I'm worried that that's what's going to happen in Cleveland going forward.
And I'll tell you what, man, you're not the only one that's worried about that. Like Don just said in the chat room, we'll find out in 72 hours one way or the other about that. So let's step away from the Browns and let's look inside the box of fantasy football in general this week. Week 3, outside of the main guys, who are your kind of sleeper sits and starts here this week? Who would you start this week that perhaps would be available in a lot of leagues? I know, surprisingly, in our league, Eddie Royal was available, and I was actually able to snatch him up. But there were a few guys, DeAndre Hopkins, that was still available. So I was surprised at some of the players that I found still available, not just in our league, but in different leagues in week 3.
Yeah, I'm higher on Hopkins than I am on Royal, and the reason is that Hopkins is, to me, a clear number two receiver on that team, and if Andre Johnson's concussion issues cause further trouble, Hopkins becomes the main guy. Eddie Royal's never caught more than one touchdown pass in a game in his entire career until last week, and aside from a very, very good rookie campaign in 2008, he has not done much for good reason. He is a competent receiver, but when you've got a team with Antonio Gates and Malcolm Floyd and Vincent Brown and Keenan Allen, even the rookie, you can't expect Eddie Royal to get the touchdowns and the receptions that he got last week. And Phillip Rivers is playing out of his mind. I mean, he's on pace for 5,200 yards and 50-something TDs. That's not going to continue. So you have to expect, I hate to say it, J-Rock, I think Royal is trade bait at this point. I don't see him being a regular producer. I also want to caution people on Gene Starks. I saw a lot of people scramble to, wasting their number one waiver pick on James Starks because suddenly it looks like he's, he had such a great game last week, aided mainly by a touchdown run that I saw where he got a 25-yard scamper to the end zone. And that essentially salvaged his game. This is a guy who is 27 years old and did not catch on in Green Bay for a reason. He has 250-some-odd career carries in 3-plus seasons. And he never rushed for more than 600 yards. So people who think that James Starks is now going to be, their number two running back, I think have made a big mistake. At best, he'll do well one more time before Lacy comes back, and then starts with nothing more than waiver fodder.
Question for you. At the tight end position, what are your thoughts on Charles Clay down in Miami? Because he's sitting out available in a lot of leagues. I mean, obviously some good production starting off the season.
Yeah, it's a great question. I like him. I traded recently a big blockbuster trade I mentioned last week where I got Greg Olsen in return, as well as Trent Richardson and Dez Bryant. Olsen's turned out to be a revelation. He's been fantastic the first 2 weeks of the season, especially last week. And he's coming up on a bye in a couple weeks, so I decided to pick up Clay earlier this week to get ready. I think your listeners need to, some of your listeners may be doing this, but you always got to be looking 2-3 weeks ahead. When are your guys going on bye? And get those good free agents picked up now. Don't wait till the last minute, because otherwise they might be gone when someone else does the same strategy. So I picked up Clay, and then when it was official that Allen was out for the season, Dwayne Allen, the other tight end in Indianapolis, I decided to go with Kobe Fleener. And I think Fleener in Indianapolis in that offense has a better chance to shine slightly than Clay in Miami, only because I think Fleener has slightly more opportunity in the red zone to be a primary target.
Tell you what, BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners, joins us each and every Thursday here because Thursday night football kicks things off. What are your, you know, give me a couple of sleepers. Give me a couple of guys that you're looking at here to have big weeks, perhaps as spot starts or fill in guys on this week three.
I would say the Broncos D has been good. This is maybe it sounds like an easy one. The Broncos defense has been good, not great. I think this is a week where they could be great. They're playing at home against Oakland. Terrell Pryor, the rookie quarterback there, was good in week one, not so great in week two. A lot of your listeners, you know, the Broncos should be taken in most leagues, but I think the Broncos D will be coming into its own once it gets all its players back. And I think they become a very, once again, if they should be a top five talent. And I think Alfred Morris is in line to finally break out. I have him in one of my two leagues, and here's a guy who his first two games, he rushes for 40-something yards and about 100 yards. He's only had 25 carries combined. That's got to change. The problem is Washington's been playing from behind. They play a very, very explosive Detroit team, but at the same time, Alfred Morris, everyone knows, he and RG3 are the keys on the ground to getting the ball going in Washington. RG3 is not run enough. Alfred Morris has not run enough. I think if you're lucky, you can grab Alfred Morris from someone who's not paying attention. He should be a top 10 running back going forward. And he and the rest of the Redskins have just been off to a slightly slow start, and I think Morris is definitely a top 10 play this week on running back.
All right, last question for you here as we wrap things up. We've talked during the preseason about how a lot of times people are blinded by the names of players and not the production. Give me one big name player that people shouldn't be afraid to sit down this week.
Very tough. I would say Reggie Bush is a big name player, but that's more for injury purposes than anything else. I worry about him playing one quarter and then having to sit out. You know, Matt Forte, going into Pittsburgh, I still believe that Pittsburgh's defense is good enough to limit the run and limit the damage. And I wouldn't, you know, you're putting me on the spot here with Forte as a guy to sit. I wouldn't necessarily say sit him, but I would say be very, very cautious about Forte being a high-impact player. And finally, DeMarco Murray, you know, the guy is, he's done a lot of his damage in the air. If you're in a PPR league, he's helped you out. But he, on the running side, he's rushed for about 110 yards in two games with no touchdowns on the ground. He's going up against the Rams. The Rams have a decent defense. If you've got two other options who are solid, I could see people sitting Murray this week. I think Murray is one of those guys after his injury last season, where it's a wait-and-see approach with DeMarco Murray as to whether or not he's going to be the guy who's going to help lead Dallas into a playoff run, or if he's going to be a guy who midway through the season Dallas realizes is not dependable enough to be a long-term, starting running back for that team. And one more I'll say to start is Chris Johnson. I've been targeting him all season. He's off to a slow start, but he's gotten 50 carries in the first two games. It's because he played at Pittsburgh and at Houston, two very tough run defenses. He's at home against San Diego. I think this is the time you want to get Chris Johnson in the game. I think he'll produce number one running back numbers, top seven, top eight running back numbers this week.
BJ Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners, every Thursday, somewhere around 12:40-ish in that area, and good to have you here again this week. Rook, I didn't put you on the spot. I thought I left you an out. I said, give me somebody you're not afraid to sit. That's all. I didn't say somebody you should sit. I tried to leave that wiggle room there for you, man.
I appreciate it. I always think, well, who's a good player who people would be willing to sit? Because I got to tell you, sometimes you got to sit a good player. Maybe, right. You know, if you've got San Francisco going up against Seattle, which they will later this season, don't start Frank Gore, whatever you do. I mean, there are certain things that we just know now.
B.J. Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners, not just the author of Fantasy Football for Winners, but he joins us here every Thursday, and we get you all set starting with Thursday Night Football for your Fantasy Football weekend. B.J., thank you so much. Enjoy Week 3 of the NFL, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Thursday and seeing how it all plays out.
Sounds great, Jared. Trade Eddie Royal while you can.
Trade Eddie. I just picked him up. All right, man. All right. Thank you for the advice, man. B.J. Riddell,
have a good
you have
week.
A good one, my man. All right. All right, guys, we're going to hit the break. When we come back, hopefully you're all ready to rock and roll. It's funny, too, because in our league, everybody listens to the show, of course, so they're all hearing the same advice and making the same moves and scrambling for the same players. It becomes a rat race, Daddy. All right, we're going to hit the break. When we come back, we're going to pick the conversation back up with you. I'm going to open up the phone lines, 216-539-7535. Chime in now on Trent Richardson, the Cleveland Browns, the Indians, and this big, big final homestand of the season. All of that and more when we come back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Sports Fix.
The Sports Fix? Who's this?
The Sultan of Swat.
Who?
King of Crap.
Who?
Lost the
Crap.
The Great Bambino.
We may not always know where we're going, but we do hit all the bases. Make sure your home plate for sports talk is The Sports Fix.
Hey guys, as we hit the break, just want to mention the Sports Fix, of course, proud to be partners with Harry Buffalo in North Olmsted, home of each and every Browns game day Sunday. The Sports Fix, broadcasting pregame, postgame, and halftime shows live in the house. We're giving away prizes, doing some trivia contests, having a great time each and every Browns game. Whether they win or lose on the field, everybody's a winner because we have a party each and every Browns game at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Don't forget as well, they've got Coors Light College Game Day Saturdays. Get all your Buckeye action there. Great drink specials on Sundays. Those hair of the dog pitchers are only $10, and that right there turns a bad day and a frown upside down. All of that, Monday Night Football, your favorite Browns players watching the game with you, and so much more. The Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, just outside Great Northern Mall. We'll see you there for each and every Browns game. Don't forget, Harry Buffalo, proud sponsor of the Sports Fix. Join the herd.
It's the Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
The engines are cranking and purring, and that can only mean one thing. Bike nights are back at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Rev up your hogs and head on down to Harry Buffalo North Olmsted every Monday night. Enjoy $3 drinks and beers,
$5 pizzas,
and crazy wing specials for all bikers, all on their open patio.
Woo-hoo!
Hot bikes, good friends, and great times are waiting for you. 4824 Great Northern Boulevard, right outside Great Northern Mall. Monday bike nights at Harry Buffalo, the proud sponsor of the Sports Fix.
Whether it's an oil change or a new set of tires, Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has you covered for your car care needs. They're your neighborhood quick service experts. They also offer a low price tire guarantee. Choose from 13 brands, and if you find the same tires at a lower price within 30 days, Quick Lane at Valley Ford will refund the difference. 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View. Come see why life is better in the Quick Lane. Quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix, on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today.
Hey, Cleveland, this is Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Sports Fix.
The fix is in. Call J-Rock now at 216-539-7535. We want to hear from you now. 216-539-7535.
Frankenstein. Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on thesportsfix.net or throughout the day and around the world on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, all the different formats. Thank you so much and welcome in. Phone lines are open, 216-539-7535. Feed that Frankenstein, baby. 216-539-7535. Facebook.com/thesportsfix. We'll read your comments on the air. I'm going to read a few of those here of the hundreds that we've gotten when it comes to Trent Richardson and the Cleveland Browns as well. The Indians, too. Get your comments in there and tweet with us at thesportsfixcle. We'll read those on the air. As I was talking about some of the comments here, people chiming in on all of our pages. Andy Sorbo on our Facebook page says that he thinks this had to be one of the worst moves the Browns have ever made, perhaps even worse than trading Paul Warfield to the Miami Dolphins. And I can go through here as I'm scrolling down through. I have to edit as I'm talking to you guys as we're rolling through here. But comment after comment basically repeating that exact same thing. Sidney Bryant says the Browns have once again let their hometown fans down. They never fail to do that. The fans rise up, but they continue to run them down. Len Sarnowski says, I'm running out of next years to wait for. It's been 18 years since I've had a winning NFL team to cheer for. In that period of time, I've had to endure 2 Ratbird and 2 Squealer Super Bowl winners, not to mention all the fair weather Squealer fans. Enough already, Indians. And comment after Terry Carlson says, good luck, Trent Richardson. Let's see what you turn out to be with a different good organization. He thinks the Browns owners and the front office stink. That's always a simple way to break it down. But keep giving us your comments on Facebook. I would read more, but as I said, I've got to scroll through these. And as soon as I see a 4 or 5-letter word that I can't read, I just have to keep rolling down. You know, another topic, too, as some people have chimed in about the reports that Trent Richardson found out about being traded on the radio, because that is a different angle of this whole thing that speaks to the makeup of this front office, if it's true, because I will qualify that with this. Now his story is, and I've heard him say it, that he heard about it from a friend who heard about it on the radio. But the first quotes that I had yesterday from Trent Richardson after the trade was announced was that he found out by a phone call from his agent. So I'm not sure exactly what the true story to that is. Perhaps the agent heard it on the radio first, because that's the problem with the Browns being in cahoots with the radio stations and everybody wanting to break the breaking news. Apparently, that had gotten out to the radio stations and leaked to the media before Trent Richardson was notified, obviously, before Chud had a chance to talk to Trent Richardson. And I thought Chud's text message, Trent Richardson today showed some media the text messages that he got from Chudzinski yesterday, and it said, and I quote, "This came from above both of us, and hopefully we're both going to be better off in the long run because of it." But it clearly spoke to the fact that Chud had absolutely nothing to do. And maybe he shouldn't. I do believe that coaches coach and front offices do the front office thing. But he obviously had no say-so in that whatsoever. So all of that, things to take into equation as well. But when it comes to the did he find out on the radio, I don't care if the agent found out or if the news leaked before they could call Trent Richardson. This, it might be a business. And at the same time, there's personal, real-life relationships formed in here. People are giving you what they're giving. I understand that they're being paid millions of dollars. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like any other interpersonal situation. Things interweave with each other. And the common decency and respect of a phone call and a face-to-face personal visit is needed. And I also take issue with the fact that Mike Lombardi was nowhere to be seen last night, too. Hey, I'm going to invoke the name of the devil here for 1 second and say Art Modell, for all the things he did wrong and bad, for all the coaches that he fired, every single one of them, he called them personally to his home in Waite Hill. He invited them into his home, and he sat them down and fired them face-to-face as a man. All I'm saying, and the same thing with trades. He handled his business face-to-face. Sometimes, you know, and I'll just say this, Mike Lombardi is the guy who went and made a film of Bernie Kosar's lowlights behind his back and used it to help Bill Belichick pitch and sell Art Modell on moving Bernie Kosar out of town. So that just speaks to different types of people and the way they go about their business. And comment after comment, I'm telling you, I haven't seen really, I would say out of almost 600 comments on our two different Facebook pages, they are 90% negative. Even the ones who think that it's going to be a good move, and I put myself in that category as well, that it is going to be a good move down the road, hopefully. And even that's putting trust in something that you don't know yet if you can put yourself into. But at the same time, it is so negative that I think Jonathan Knight was dead on about how this could be the break. And it's not, it's not going to lead to 20,000 people showing up for Browns games, but it could be the difference between 65 and 55,000. And you think 15 and 10,000 isn't a chunk, and you're crazy. Go look at it there in the building. You'll see it. Those are dropping down. And you know what? Here's something interesting. And I did this off the air with one of our listeners, Bruce. Him and I were talking off the air about the Browns because one of his complaints is, and rightfully so, is about the bias with the town and the media when it comes to Browns, Indians, winning, losing, all of that stuff. And I said, Bruce, that's a fairy tale. Because if you guys listen to any radio station, any TV show, they pitch the same fairy tale. They tell you it's a football town and the Browns are always going to have the fans and all of this. Now, I will agree that it's a football town and the Browns do have a strong fan base. But check this out. Go pull up the math. Pull up the every year since 1999, pull up the attendance and watch. And here's the other thing. I want you to look at the average attendance for every year. I use the Browns Bible right here that Jonathan Knight put together, and it broke it down in black and white for me. The Browns attendance last year had reached its lowest average point for the season since the year Art Modell moved the team, if you can believe that. All the other years were up near sellout average, a little below, right up there in that area. It hasn't been as low as it was last year since the year that Art Modell moved the team, which was when everybody boycotted and stopped going to games, and it skewed the average down even more. That'll show you how fed up the fan base that loves this team really was. So it was already starting to teeter, but I thought that Jimmy Haslam really, just the freshness of Jimmy Haslam repaired a lot of that, boosted this fan base back up, because it was like, hey, we got a sugar daddy now, and this guy's going to come in and he's going to take care of business. And you know what? I don't fault people for thinking that, because his track record showed that it was so and that he was successful in business, and I get that. And there's still time for this whole thing to play out. But my point is a perfect point by Cliff earlier on in the show, is that Jimmy Haslam, everything that he gained when he brought this team is out the window. Absolutely out the window. Now you're at, I would reckon to say right now, public relations wise, you're at a lower depth than you were before Jimmy Haslam had the team. And that's a problem. And that's a problem that the Cleveland Indians can take advantage of. And that's a perfect segue to get the last break out of the way, come back and preview this Houston Astros series. Because like JK and I were just talking about, the Cleveland Indians now sit center spotlight on this town while the fan base is hot. And you know what? Gunther, Bruce, you guys in the chat room, John, I agree with what John just said. I get tired of the Indians fans versus Browns fans and all of this. Stop trolling our own people. Cleveland is Cleveland no matter what the front of the jersey is. Maybe you like baseball more than you like football. Maybe you like basketball more than you like baseball. But we all like, love, whatever, teams from Cleveland. I get frustrated watching the Cleveland fans fight and split up and bicker amongst themselves. We're taking shots nationally. We're taking shots on bow all over from everybody else. Why do we need to deal with it from ourselves? That drives me nuts. Guys, calm down. You know what this is? This is a Cleveland town. That's what this is. Tribe, Cavs, Browns, Cleveland, daddy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk that Indians fever. Let's end this show on a up note, baby, because we're talking about the Indians and this homestand and pride. Tribe town. Pumping it up and then making it happen. Because I can say it all you want. I can sit here and say, go down there. You got to go down there. We got to fill this place up. We'll preview the Astros in this homestand when we come back, talking some Indians baseball, some playoff winning baseball, daddy, when we come back, wrapping things up on the Sports Fix.
Indian fever, it's catching fire with everyone. Indian fever.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of yeah about a kid that's never played baseball.
Throwing you the best sports commentary in town, The Sports Fix.
I'll tell you what, whether you just started listening to the show today or you've been listening since the beginning of the Sports Fix, you know that our thing is how proud we are to be from Cleveland, to be in Cleveland, and to get the opportunity to broadcast and represent Cleveland to the world live right here on the Sports Fix each and every weekday. Well, I'll tell you what, that same sentence could just replace the word Sports Fix with our friends GV Art and Design and have the same statement, because GV Artwork, you guys have seen their stuff all over town, makers of some of the best Cleveland sports apparel you'll ever see. Unique, original designs. Fantastic. They say Cleveland that I love, and then they put it on their chest, and they put it on your chest too. Don't forget, we tell you all the time, use the sales code FIX. Any purchase you make with GVArtwork.com, you'll save 10% on your total purchase just for letting them know that you heard about it right here on the Sports Fix. So whether you check them out, GVArtwork.com, or check out the brand new store in Lakewood on Detroit Avenue, they are fantastic people with a fantastic product. Cleveland that we all can love. GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt. It's a statement.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back. Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. And no matter who you root for, everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Sunday, the Sports Fix is broadcasting live with giveaways and prizes and joining you in watching all the Browns action with Bud Light beer specials and $10 Hair of the Dog pictures.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Plus, every Monday night, catch the Monday Night Football action with some of your favorite Browns players. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo, North Olmsted. Harry Buffalo. Join the herd.
Back in 1990, when I joined Herb in the booth, you could say that first game was when I became a lifelong Tribe fan. Something about Cleveland made us want to stay and call it our home, raise our family here. I can promise you one thing, home or on the road, I feel what you folks feel, what you feel every game. Cleveland fans are passionate and pretty vocal. I respect that. This is our team. This is our town. This is a Tribe town.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. Quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Hi, Monsters fans. This is Cameron Gaunce from Cleveland's Lake Erie Monsters, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix Live here on the SportsFix.net. J-Rock with you, and in the chat room, they're just still going to town about what we were talking about in the last segment. Bruce, I take issue with your use of the word homer. I think a homer is somebody who just says that the home team's going to win every game and things like that. Being proud of your city and supporting the people that you work with and that you live with in your community and that you spend each and every day with. Community, Cleveland, the fabric of what we do beyond sports. That's not being a homer, man. That's being true. That's being real. That's being J-Rock anyways. You do what you got to do. I'll do what I got to do, and we'll meet at the Indians game. Hopefully, 45,000 of you will meet up at the Indians game tonight. Maybe, just maybe, I'm going a little crazy there. And I love Bruce, and Bruce knows that, absolutely. But I'd like to see 42,500 down there tonight at Progressive Field. We've been beating this drum all season, and especially for the last week. Six games. They're events. There's only seven Browns games left. Everybody talks about how it's an event to go to a Browns game, how there's only seven of them left, or only eight of them in a season. There's only six Indians games left, and it's your chance to do two things. It's your three things, really. You can show this team that you appreciate the season that they've given them, win, lose, or draw at the end, that you appreciate the ride that you've gone on, especially because it's been up and down, and they have stayed right there, you know? And I know that civic pride only goes so far because they get paid a ton of money to do this, and it's hard to say, go down there and say, yay, guys, thanks for a good season, because they got paid a lot of money to do it. But there's one reason. Show the world that Cleveland is indeed happy to have any team. It doesn't matter which one it is, who got there first. The Indians are there right now. Get down there, pack that place. Not only will you be showing the world and ESPN and all these places that show highlights at night that Cleveland is where it's at and that this is where the best sports fans really are, as frustrated as they get and as much as they have to go through, how much all of us have to go through, that at the end of the day, the payoff is worth it. And you know, there's a third benefit to it too. And you're showing these players on these other teams, the ones that they're going to be going after in free agency here, to add that final piece or two to this team, that bat that you're looking for, that starting pitcher or that closer or that whatever position you want to see the Indians go after, packing this place here, filling this place up, shows those free agents, hey, things are turning in Cleveland. Hey, next year, Jacobs Field, Progressive Field, whatever you want to call it, that's going to be the place to be. That's the place that I want to play. I would love to see you guys out there filling this place, making noise. Like I said, just for 6 days, we can't bring back the 90s, but for 6 days, we can bring back that atmosphere. We can bring it downtown. I don't even want to watch the game. I want to listen out the window, and I want to hear beeping the horns and go, up, Tribe won tonight like it used to be. And I know we can do it, and it's a good opportunity. If you're an Indians believer like I am, in the front, I'm talking beyond the field, in the actual, you know, sports media world, then this is a good opportunity for them to fill this place up, as we've talked about here. Take advantage of that. You've got the Astros, 51-101 coming to town. Ubaldo, perfect way to set the tone. Ubaldo with a perfect way to set the table tonight for this. Start things off. He takes his 12-9 record and his last two amazing months that he's put together, getting stronger and stronger. Now they come home. They've got a chance to start this four-game run with the Astros and finish it off two with the Chicago White Sox. Tomorrow, we'll get Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com on the show. We'll look forward to that for the Indians. We'll preview the rest of the series, look back at the first game here and see if they set the tone, told the league, this is Cleveland, damn it, and we are running this thing right through to the playoffs, baby. Tomorrow, Mike Brandenberry, we'll talk about that. We'll take your phone calls. Ryan Ruiz and Jeff Gorman join us to talk about the Browns and preview the Vikings game. All that, so much more. Same bat time, baby. Same bat channel, live right here. Each and every one of you, come back and join us. And hey, if you like what we do, tell somebody else to join us too. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Go Tribe tonight. Kick this thing off in style, baby, as we start this run to the playoffs. And we'll see you tomorrow at noon, live right here on the Sports Fix.
Yes, I have a dream, and I know I ain't the only one. Modell tried to stem my heart, but we brought it back. Case of Cleveland Clinic, now they call them Kiss the Cardiac. Rock Car, Science Center, Tower City, all of that. Warehouse District, Euclid Corridor, and all the flat. You know that I'm a Tribe fan, and I love Slimins. Crockett Park's the perfect place for me to spend some time in. Baby, this is Cleveland. It is so much more to us. You can even go to Severance Hall to see an orchestra.
In Cleveland, hey.